Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
I want you to go to 1 Samuel chapter 17. I'm going to talk a little bit about David and the giant. It's not going to be your normal thing that we're going to discuss, because the topics that we've been on the last 3 weeks, that this is the third week, is God's calling in the midst, God's calling his people in the midst of chaos. God calling his people in the midst of chaos. It's sometimes right in the midst of chaos, God is really speaking to our heart to be able to be engaged with the light that is within us, so we can impart that light, give that light to the darkness or to the chaos. Every chaos that we go into, every chaos that we see, there's a need for the truth to show up. And if you're anywhere around that chaos, if you're in it or anywhere around it, you're one of them that he's calling to activate. He's calling you to be able to shine the truth, shine the light that is inside you, and to give out what it is that he's put inside you. But a lot of times we're intimidated. A lot of times we have the fear that we've been singing about, you know, about the fear. But we also know that beyond the fear is his love. Perfect love casts out all fear. Well, you may say, well, Pastor, I have love, but it didn't say love cast out all fear. It said perfect love. Love that has been perfected, love that has matured, not that the love does, but you have matured in that love. You maturing in that love will be able to cast out all the fear that you may have, or all the anxiety, or anything that you have. You will be able to walk in the midst of it, knowing who he is, and knowing that he loves you, and knowing who you are in him. Because the enemy always has lies. Matter of fact, that's one of his names, the liar. He is a liar. And he always accuses. And that's another one of his names, that he is the accuser. But I'm going to ask you something today. Have you ran into any of your giants lately? Raise your hand if you've ran into any of your giants lately. By the way, I want to acknowledge another man of God in the house. We have a wonderful brother in the house visiting with us today, Brother Leon Godlock and his daughter. It is so good to have you. It really is so good to have you. He also serves the community you are with, the sheriff's office. You do a wonderful job. He's been to our church to speak before to our men, does a great job of encouraging us, and it's such an honor to have you and your lovely daughter today. God bless you for being with us. So we want to make sure that we are the people that we're called to be, and that we have the mindset. Everybody say the mindset. If your mind's not set, it's going to go a lot of different places. And it's whoever's going to capture your attention that you're going to have your mind setting upon. That's that good word about focus, about being focused, about thinking on these things, about staying focused with what God wants you to stay focused with, even though everything else is sort of like this around you. So if you are one of those people in the hearing of my voice today, that you have met some of your giants, maybe we can learn something from facing the giants, facing the very things that are giving us chaos in the midst of not just a small group of people, but a whole vast army, a whole people. Do you understand that America needs the church? America has to have the church. They're actually looking for the church, even though they're opposing, and many are opposing the church. They're still looking for the church. Even in their opposition, they're not saying that. They don't even realize it, but they do know that they're looking for something that needs to work. And the only thing that's going to work all the chaos out is for God's people to arise and shine, like we've been singing and been talking about the last couple of weeks, to be able to see the things that God is seeing in the midst of what we're involved in. We've got to have the mindset that asks questions. When you're going through the difficulty, your questions should not be the whys. Your question should be, God, how do you see what I'm looking at? How do you see what I'm looking at? How do you see what I'm going through? What is your perspective? What is your character in all of this? What is your nature in all of this? Then identify with him, and then you'll find the direction of how you are supposed to broadcast your truth, the truth that he's given you, and broadcast the light that he's put inside you. And we said last week, just because you carry the truth does not mean you need to always give it. Because if you haven't learned how to love when you give it, you might ought to just sit on it for a while. Because he said, when you speak the truth in love. Some people want to be hard with the truth. They want to beat people with the truth and hurt people with the truth just to make the point. Now, that's not God's ways. God loves every time he gives you truth. Even though he's a sure foundation, he's not going to waffle, he's not going to move and be shaky about anything, but he's going to tell you the truth. But in the whole scenario of him telling you the truth and being the truth for us, he's going to love us every step of the way. We should have an attitude of not just being truthful, but we should have an attitude of being redemptive. Redemptive. We should have that redemptive nature to be able to God be used of God to redeem things, to buy things back, to bring things back to the light or to the light. And in the process of that, you'll be able to win souls and win people in such a way that they'll never be the same. Everybody say they'll never be the same. Let me ask you, did you ever come in contact with the truth and a loving truth? Did it change you? Did it spark you to think about, wait a minute, here's a comparison of my life and here's a comparison of his goodness and what he's done. He died and all. Did you ever come across that? Absolutely. If you're born again, you came across it. Well, because that's God's way. Everybody say it's God's way. We need to learn his word and we need to learn his way. Somebody said something to me just this past week, said, I don't see how in the world people can see all this miracles of God and still not follow him. I said, it's all in the Bible. I said, children of Israel saw all kind of miracles. Meat falling from heaven, bread falling from heaven, water from a rock. Just miracle after miracle. Shoes that won't ever wear out. Oh, I'd love to have me a pair of them shoes today. Wouldn't you? Shoes that don't ever wear, miracle after miracle. But what did they do? They kept rebelling against God. They kept rebelling about his presence. Kept thinking we can manage by ourselves. Can't manage by ourselves. We'll never be able to manage by ourselves. America will never be able to manage its own in its own way. America needed God in the very beginning, and America still needs God today. But a lot of the things about God is being concealed because we're hiding our light under the basket. We're not being engaged like we should be engaged. We're not being involved like. You know, and I'm going to tell you one thing. You know one of the reasons why we're not? We live our life too much in the gray area. So there's black and white, and then there's this mixture of the two that has the gray. See, we need to be strong on this light side. Will it cost us? Absolutely. Salvation is free, but all this other stuff with God is going to cost us. Why? That's how he made it. Do you really want to follow him? Do you really want to be the light that he says you are? Do you really want to be the person that goes up and takes out this humongous giant, not just for you, but for a whole people? So I think God is calling for Davids. in the midst of chaos. I think God is heralding his voice and trying to awaken his people to be able to take a stand and be that David. But see, here's the thing about it. We all want to be the warrior that David was at age 14, 15, might have been 13. Just a young teenager. We'll step into that role and become that giant slayer. Yeah. But see, you have to understand that not only did he take out the giant, but there is a prerequisite of how he got there. The prerequisite of how he got there was long ago when he was even smaller, he was tending sheep. And he was worshiping God. So he was a worshiper. And in the process of him worshiping God and playing all the instruments that were available to him, not at that time, but older, I think he made, I don't know, I forgot the number, so many instruments when he was older to be able to be played for the worship of God. But he was able to do that. And then a lion came by. Listen, the Bible says that the lion came by and not only tried to take the lion, he had the sheep in his mouth. He had it in his mouth. I'm doing my best. Oh, I see one. William, stand up. It ain't quite long enough, but I'll still be able to get it. Bad. Come on. Come on over here. Come on over here. So he had the lion in his mouth, and my Bible says that when he went, he grabbed him by the beard. Y'all got that? Roar. And he grabbed him. Listen, that's what my Bible says. He ran after the lion, grabbed him by the beard, got the lamb out of his mouth. You may go now. Thank you for being such a good sport. His really wasn't long enough for me to really yank on. I should have said the mane, but it really didn't grab him by the mane. So here's the thing about it. You say, well, man, that was absolutely wonderful. That's great courage. It is great courage. What inspired, listen to this, it's very important. What inspired David to go do that? What inspired David to chase the lion that has already got one of his lambs? What inspired him to run after that and take it away from him? And him being 14 years old. What inspired him? I mean, he's got plenty of them. He had the compassion for the lamb, and he had inside, listen to this, he had inside him to protect the innocent. To protect the innocent. It was in him to protect the innocent. Everybody say, to protect the innocent. He was a worshiper. He was a protector. Excuse me. He was a protector of the innocent. And they wasn't even his sheep. They were his father's. I'm running a parallel here of pastors, shepherds. Shepherds are not just to give preachers, the pastors are not just to give you the word and that's all. They should be able to say, they should be able to have it in their heart, in their life, that they would lay their life down for any one of you. Because he put his life on the line to be able to save one that was innocent. So you still want to be a giant slayer? You still want to be able to take out the things that are hurting society? Then learn how to protect the innocent. Learn how to worship God. And then learn how to protect the innocent. Well, I may not know the innocent. It doesn't matter if you know them. If they're innocent. You're the protector of an innocent, of the innocent. But I want to be that, okay, this is where you're going to be able to start. Right? This is where you're going to have to start. You've got to be a worshiper. Yeah. Even when nobody's listening.
That's right.
Matter of fact, that's some of the best worship. When there ain't nobody listening. Or will you worship when no one's listening? Or does it take a crowd for you to be able to sing? Bless you. So everybody wants to be the one to take the big guy out. But have you learned to worship? David knew who his God was. And by the way, he started out early in life. When you see babies like this dedicated, you know, and you see this family, and you see their commitment to walk with God, you understand that this priestly rose is going to become something that is much greater than anybody ever thinks. And it's not just about her. It's about anybody that starts raising children up in such a way that they hear the Word of God, they see the Word of God demonstrated.
Yeah.
They see the model of it. Don't do as I do, just do as I tell you. Anybody ever heard that? No, it doesn't work that way. So you begin to see that he's a worshiper. You begin to also see that not only that, but he's a protector of the innocent. And you get all this going up, but David's father learns and knows that his three other sons, he had eight, but his three older sons were in a battle against this giant. And the Bible says for 40 days and 40 nights, he was standing up defying. Watch this. The Bible says that he defied and taunted the armies, Israel, the armies of God. He taunted, they just mocked them, just ridiculed them, despised them, just kept taunting them. The father said, David was the youngest. He sends him and he cuts bread and he cuts cheese and he says, I want you to be able to take this and I want you to, and by the way, I want you to, he runs in his chapter two times. He said, I want you to run to them. What does that mean? I want you to be quick. Here's the third one. I want you to be quick to serve. Now, I don't want to serve. No, you can't be. In God's kingdom, you just can't be that without learning to serve. He said, I want you to run to your brothers. So he had to become a servant. He had to become obedient to his authority. He had to become obedient to his authority. And when he was sent to run to serve. Oh, I could spend some time on running to serve. We have so much of a chaotic environment that says, I don't have to do that. Matter of fact, I'm entitled to something else. I don't want that. Just go ahead and give me this because I deserve it. know, Jesus, do you remember what Jesus said about becoming great? Does anybody remember what he said about becoming great? Somebody's got it. What did he say? To be the servant of all. Have we missed that somewhere in the church? Have we missed that? Have we sort of just jumped over that or glossed over that? About this thing of serving one another, about this thing of helping each other. This thing about taking the towel and laying it over our arm and say, what can I get for you? How can I serve you? No, we can't do that sometimes because we come in and say, oh, excuse me. Excuse me, I know y'all are new, but these seats are where we sit. So there's plenty of places right over there.
We did sit over there.
You don't want to sit over there. Well, I'll go talk to the pastor.
We did sit there.
Somebody says, that doesn't happen. Yes, it does. Maybe they won't say anything. Maybe they'll just give you this. Funny, but terrible. Funny, but horrible. Or you start going down this line and you say, oh, it's good to see you today. You look very nice. You look very sharp. Y'all look very good today. You really do. And then you get to her and say, you look very, hey, it's good to see you. I had to pick on you, didn't I? But God gave you a good word last week, though. So he's testing that word this week. No, they're young. They, Serve them all. Can I help you? Can I do something for you? You need, let me get that for you. Servant. And he said, and David said, the Bible says that David told him, the father told him to run. To serve.
Amen.
Run to it. Don't just lollygag. Anybody ever heard lollygag?
Yeah.
I'm in the right place. Lollygag around and shuffle your feet and you know, just like, you know. And how about serving with the right attitude? Have you ever served with the wrong attitude? I'm not going to say who they are, but I've seen some. You tell them to do something, and okay, I'll do it. But I'll tell you right now, it's like, I'm getting my serving done, right? No, see, it's about the heart. It's the same way with worship. You can do all of this. You can do all of this. But Jesus says, when you do that and there's no heart in it, it's void. It's empty. It's about a heart that wants to serve. It's about a heart that wants to worship. It's about a heart that wants to take care of the innocent. It's about the heart of who we are. And that's what God's calling for. God's calling for your heart. To rise up, even though you don't even know what the next steps are. So he goes as a servant. And while he's there, he listens to this giant that is mouthing off. And David begins to ask questions. I mean, it sets David on fire. And then he begins to say questions. Verse 26, David spoke to the men while they were standing there, and he says, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? Who takes away the reproach from Israel? What's going to happen to him who takes this dude out? By the way, another question I have for you. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who does he think he is? Define the armies of who? See, all of a sudden, all this things is churning up in him. Because he don't like what he's hearing. And he certainly doesn't like what he's seeing. All the army gathering up, getting in their armor clothing, and getting their shields and their swords, and they're coming out of the caves. And they're beating their shields with their sword and going, "Oh, oh, 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 oh." And that's well and good when all of them are standing out there ready for battle. The Bible said that they were in battle array. Uh-oh. He begins to open his mouth and to defy the very purpose of God in the valley. By the way, the valley means Elah. The name of the valley is Elah. You know what it means? It means two things. One is oak. The other is a bad taste. One of two things are going to happen in your valley of Elah where you face the giant. One of two things. You're going to become an oak, immovable, no matter what, or you're going to leave that place with a bad taste in your mouth. One of the two, because it's a valley of transition. It's a valley of becoming. It's a valley, and that's what your chaos is. Every chaos that you're going through, this nation's going through chaos, and it is our valley of what we're going to become out of this chaos. Are we going to become oaks of righteousness? Or are we going to leave the place of these things of bad times, and we're going to leave with bad taste in our mouth? One of the names is turpentine for that thing. Boy, I probably have. Okay, I'm all right. I thought I'd undone my cuffs. That's where Brenda got her heel. Hung right in there. At the funeral home. Y'all heard that story. I mean, we stumbled like two drunk people in the midst of a funeral home, and all eyes was on us like. And she finally kicked that shoe off, and that heel was just hanging right in my. And I got that shoe and did like Cinderella, put that thing back on and got back up. Said, "How y'all doing?" Unforgettable. You never forget those things. He said, what's going to be given to this? So you need to understand, God, this thing that we're facing, what will be the benefit of us taking it out? We need to understand what the benefit of it is for us to be able to take out the very voice that is defying Christ. So he asked that question. Then he says this, and I love this, I really do. He says this in verse 32. They've already tried this stuff about the armament. David said he's going to go. He said, watch it. He says in verse 32, he says, "Let no man's heart fail them," says a 14-year-old. Let no man, let's see, who's 14? How old is he? 14, come up here, you little 14-year-old, you. What's your name? Luke. Boy, that's a great name, Luke. Come on up here. Jason, yeah, come on up here. Don't worry, Luke. Now, actually, Goliath's bigger than him. I mean, His shoulders are axe handle wide, and he's about 9 feet tall. Anyway, how tall are you?
6'8".
6'8". Who do we appreciate? Jason. Luke, you got to take this dude out. Rest of us are too scared. He's all yours, man. Rest of us are too scared. So what I want you to do is like little David, I want you to hold your arms out. Hold your arms out. No, I mean just hold them out like this. There you go. And I want you to turn to us, step right up here, and I want you to say, let no man's heart fail them. Yell it out.
Let no man's heart fail them.
We did real good. Then he said, your servant will go and fight this big dude. Tell him.
Your servants will go and fight this big dude.
Did you say servants? Uh-uh. It's servant. It's you. The rest of us are back in our holes. We done took the shield away, put the armor up, and we're in the hole. We're in the hole till in the morning. We'll do this again. Maybe. You're it. So give it to us again. Let me get down here so I can receive it. Let no man's heart fail them. Your servant will take out this big dude. All right, wait a minute. All right, let's have it. Hey, big dude, you can go sit down. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Luke. Appreciate that. Amen. Great job. Now, there's a lot more, but I've got to close. You got to be able to stand up to something larger than you. You got to know that in your own strength, it won't happen, but in God's, it will. But right after that, and he's telling King Saul and all the people, Just tell them, I'll take care of this thing. Don't let her. But now he gets, here's the last point I'm going to give you today. He starts to face from his own people. Everybody say this word, negativity. You're going to have to learn to overcome negativity and not be negative even though somebody else is. Well, who do you think you are? Over here, why aren't you back there taking care of those few sheep that you have? They called him wicked. You're going to have to overcome the negativity. Have you run across any negative people that? Here's the next question. Have you ever been one of them negative people? We got to stop being negative. We're really gonna have to be an encourager. Overcome the negativity. Negativity is one thing that will choke out the very thought process of you connecting with promises of God. Negativity is huge in this nation. Learn to be positive. Wouldn't you like to be the one that stands up and says, look, guys, it's going to be okay. We got this. God's calling each one of us out of the midst of chaos to be able to worship when nobody's watching, to be able to protect the innocent, take care of those who can't take care of themselves. Right? He wants us to do that. He wants us to be able to rise up, take a stand. And he wants us to be able to declare the thing that, hey, don't be afraid. What? Now, what was David saying? Was David thinking that he's going to be able to take him out? No. He knows in the background. He knows the one he worships. He knows the one who's helped him take out the lion and who helped him take out the bear. So what kind of testimony do you already have of God coming through for you? How many of you need a breakthrough today? Raise your hand. You need a breakthrough in your life. Raise your hand. There's something you need a breakthrough in your life. All right. Use the breakthrough that God's already given you previously, whatever it was, bring that with you and begin to say, God helped me during this and this and this. He healed me, or he set me free, or he delivered me, or he saved me, or he saved my marriage, or he saved my finances, whatever it was, and then begin to declare, look, just like that, this is going to be the same way. Because God has not changed. Amen? All right. Will all the Davids stand to your feet? And Davidettes. Oh, he's good. Nobody like him. We'll finish this up. I mean, this is week 3 and we're still going, so I don't know how long God's going to take, but it's fine with me. I want you to close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to reflect on the goodness of your God. I want you to reflect for a moment about the lions and bears in your life. I want you to think for a moment of the deliverances, the provisions of what your God has done for you in the past. I want you to think of your testimony of who he is. Now, with that being settled in you, I want you to think about the giant that is actually your doorway to enter into another dimension that helps so many people. It's just waiting for you to open it. Oops. And keep your eyes closed. Keep your eyes closed. I want you to say that again, right here. I want you to say, let no man's heart fail them. I will take out this dude. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.